We have two guests here today with a diverse background and expertise. On the far left here, we have Dennis Mahoshin, who's the CEO of VaultX, a company that's involved with cybersecurity on a number of different levels, ranging from the corporate, government, and military side. We also have another gentleman here by the name of Jeff Bangold, who's with the Toronto Police Force, and he's also a detective and also part of the computer cybercrime section within the Toronto Police Force and the services there. One of the things we've also learned today is the importance of defending ourselves against cyber attacks. Obviously, there's been a lot lately in the newspapers and in the media. We've seen a lot about countries that have been ruled by bullets and barbed wire. Suddenly are now fighting not just with bullets, they're fighting with bytes of code. Less than a month ago, we've seen a number of celebrities get their personal information hacked and pictures distributed across the internet. The day after that, we saw Home Depot get hacked with approximately 60 million credit card numbers were stolen. 6 months ago, we had the retailer Target that was the target of 40 million hacks and credit card numbers stolen. So this is becoming more and more prevalent all the time. So for our first guest, we have Jeff. He'll be coming up and discussing more on the crime side of cyber. Please welcome him up. Thank you.
All right, so first off, I want to thank Amir for making it very easy to justify why I'm here today. Secondly, I have the unfortunate pleasure of sharing the initials and haircut of Justin Bieber. So again, I'm the detective with the Toronto Police Cybercrime Unit, and to start the presentation, I want to isolate a couple criminal offenses that we look at. Cyberbullying is criminal harassment, a law that's been in place for 21 years. We're policing online for laws that are over two decades old now. When we talk about new legislation being brought up, very new offenses are coming to light, but primarily we're looking at offenses that have already been around for some time. Are my slides advancing on their own? They were, weren't they? Okay, I'm gonna go through slide by slide, sorry about that. We're gonna talk about a worst case scenario. Look no further than Barry Ardolph. All right, this individual here was accused by his neighbors of kissing their four-year-old. As a result, he launched a two-week attack against this family. He cracked into their Wi-Fi, planted child pornography, and made suggestive emails to all of his staff members. That man was arrested for child pornography. He hired an own independent counsel and a crime expert to look at the actual data that was coming through his home Wi-Fi. And it was through that that they learned that Mr. Ardolph was the one responsible for it. When the search warrant was conducted at his house, they found manuals on how to crack WEP encryption. And as you can see the quote here from the prosecutor of exactly what this man's intention was, he destroyed this life of this family. So it kind of puts into perspective exactly why we're starting to look at this as an organizational standpoint in law enforcement. Another clear-cut reason of why we need to embrace this. I'm not going to criticize any law enforcement agency for any efforts they may have taken during investigation because I simply don't know what steps were taken. But if this was to occur in Toronto, we need to be in a place where we can take that information from the complainant and properly address it before ultimate things would be done yet again. So if you look at the Toronto Police Service procedures and priorities for 2014, it is very clear where we stand on that. We understand that the public needs our help. We've been victims of fraud, harassment, intimidation, account takeovers, impersonation of so many different degrees, but how do we actually address that? So I'm going to go into very limited scope as to, again, I've only got about 15 minutes, so I can't go into a presentation of any great detail or length. But these are offenses, again, that have been in place for some time. So if we consider C-13, with the creation of a new law making it illegal to distribute nude images without consent, it's a lot of power and it provides a lot of affordability to the safety of the public. But are we in a position where we can properly police that? If you look back 20 years ago and if somebody was to walk into the front desk of a police station saying, I got a threatening email, how are we supposed to police that? We don't know where to start. So we now have to move forward to try to even catch up to where technology has taken us. In April of 2013, we created a task force called Operation Reboot, where we looked to see how we could take technology and leverage it to bolster our criminal investigations, as well as to protect our infrastructure and research new development in devices and technology. That became the Toronto Police Cybercrime Unit, known as C3. We are a pseudo 24-hour operation that can assist and support any criminal investigation that has an online component. Now, when we think of cybersecurity, we generally think of hardware breaches or actual devices being hacked into and things of that nature. Has anybody seen a message like this on their computer? It's called ransomware. And what it is you get this message from a police service or a government agency saying that you've downloaded illegal material. In order to unlock your computer, you have to pay a fund towards them. So you have to ask yourself a question, if I've downloaded illegal movies, and I can get away with it for just paying the RCMP $150. It doesn't sound logical or viable. But so many people have bought into this. In fact, some of my friends have called me up and said, I got ransomware on my computer for those movies I downloaded last night. Right? So I told them to pay me the $200 and I'll get rid of the virus. 8 years makes a vast difference in the way that we look at technology and how we use it. And this is the Vatican, moments before the last two popes have been named. And in the top photo, you can see maybe one or two digital devices, yet on the bottom, it is a complete opposite of that. One or two people are the only people in the crowd who do not have a device. This is an actual map that was produced quite recently, I believe it was September, showing hotspots of every single digital device connected to the internet in the world. Just mobile devices, not desktops or anything of that nature, mobile devices. So this is from, and I'm not sure if anybody saw my Twitter feed from today or if anybody's following me. I actually was meeting with Twitter this morning. And this is the information that they gave me. It took them 3 years, 2 months, and 1 day to hit their 1 billionth tweet. Yet now, in 2 days, it takes to generate 1 billion tweets itself. It's quite a vast amount of data that's being pushed out there. Now, the other thing to consider, everyone remembers this movie? You're telling me there's a chance, right? If you tell me, well, come on, there's only a 1 in a million chance that crime is occurring online. If we know that 2 billion tweets are happening in 3 or 4 days, what's the percentage of that? What's that 1 in a million chance of something happening online that's actual criminal in nature? So, consider this. In order for me to do my job effectively, you have to have faith in the police service, that you can come forward to me and say, I've been hacked. And it's embarrassing to say you've been hacked, right? A lot of organizations don't even report it because you lose confidence in your customers. There is potential that people aren't going to sign up with you in the future knowing that there's a chance that your data is not going to be secured. And as well, public shaming, right? You're on the front page of the Star. Home Depot, Target has been discussed in the past. Think about Apple. Apple, on September the 9th, 2014, announced that they have 800 million credit card numbers on file. They are the largest repository of credit card data in the world. Can you imagine that cyber hack? You could get into mine, but you're not even going to be able to buy Candy Crush with it. So I'm not too concerned about my own. But the bigger corporations that are out there, I mean, even internally, I mean, we have Mac products that we use at work in order to get some of the apps that we need. I myself, as an investigator, have an iTunes account for that sole purpose. That's a good place to start looking for a hack. Prior to my job with the Computer Cybercrime Unit, I was in charge of a divisional youth bureau. And after the incident happened with Amanda Todd, I was getting a flood of phone calls from teenage girls saying that a nude image of themselves had been shared online. Prior to Amanda Todd, do you have any idea how hard it would have been for a 14 or 15-year-old to tell a 35-year-old detective that? Almost an impossibility. But seeing how impactful some of these things can happen changes perspective. All right, so we now have community confidence come forward to us. I need to make sure that my job is done properly within the laws in order to make this happen and push forward to the courts. We need the courts to understand how we got from point A to point B and how that evidence was collected. We need the judiciary to understand how it was done as well. And we also need to understand that there's an impact to crime as well. A lot of people are going to be talking about the financial concerns about it, how long it takes to recover data. If you lost your photo album on your computer, it's horrible. I've had it happen. I've lost hundreds of photos. But what happens if your teenage daughter or teenage son killed themselves over something that occurred to them online? And that's not a risk that we're willing to take. I can't turn somebody away to say, I don't understand Facebook. I don't understand Twitter. I can't get my head wrapped around it. We need to partner with the public and private sector to make sure there's a clear understanding that when crime occurs online, that we can properly address it. The meeting that I had with Twitter this morning was for that exact reason. If somebody is being victimized online, I need to be able to have a resource to find that information out. And it's critical for that. You've seen in the news this week, it's been extremely violent in Toronto. I'm exhausted from it. We had 3 homicides in a single day. CSI only has 2 homicides, albeit it happens in 1 hour. We had 3 in a single day. That's not to take into consideration as well the amount of stabbings that we had, the shootings that occurred, the sexual assaults, the cyber luring, the criminal harassment, the intimidation, the mischief hunter, the break and enters, the theft of data. I mean, I can go on for a while. This is crime occurring on a daily basis in Toronto. I can't even begin to, quite honestly, I don't know the numbers of how many radio calls are being generated every day. Secondly to that, I can't say how many of those are cybercrime related. Because for us, as a law enforcement community, cybercrime is new, right? Albeit aside from the child exploitations and online frauds and things of that nature. Cybercrime on itself is hard to gauge because we don't have any numbers to exactly replicate what's occurred on a daily basis. But if it's crime online, we need to be able to address it. So that's part of the job that our unit does. I'm going to provide my information here. But one thing to consider is you don't come to us directly. Anything that happens online or in your personal lives needs to be reported properly through the police channel. So be it 911 if it's an immediate threat or the non-emergency line. Once that call is established and created, the investigator who's assigned to that case will call my unit for assistance. We can get involved extremely early because we are 24 hours a day. We can work globally as well. So I've worked from my kitchen table sitting across from my daughter while she was having breakfast. All right, and hearing a 5-year-old say, "What's murder, Daddy?" It's kind of alarming, but I got the job done. All right, I can do the cases from anywhere, and we're absolutely passionate about doing this. I think that the project that we worked on clearly demonstrated that there's a need for this, and we're looking to move forward with that and make sure that this is a permanent fixture within the Toronto Police Service. Thank you.